The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, I want to read to you verses 9 through 12. We covered verse 9 and 10 last week, but we'll read these two verses to get the context of what I want to speak to you about this morning. And I debated over what to call this message. There were several things that came to mind. One thing was details, 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 because that's what the Apostle Paul is given here. Another thought was, now the preacher goes to meddling. That was another thought. But I settled on this: the drama queen, the busybody, and the loafer. That's what I settled on, because that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking to. Let's read verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. And our primary text this morning are the next two verses. And this is how the Apostle Paul is encouraging them to increase. He's getting very specific about some areas of our life that we must address in order to increase in love and abound in love more and more. He says, you're doing a great job. Like the Apostle Paul, he always hits that positive, and then he comes back and sticks a little negative in there. He says, you're doing a great job loving the brethren, and if you want that to continue and to even get better at doing it, here's some things you need to understand. That you study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you walk, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. The first thing the Apostle Paul says to do in the details that are given here on how to increase in love and loving one another more and more and enjoying the peace that we have in the kingdom of God. First, he says, study to be quiet. And that is the subject, as I've mentioned in our title this morning, of the drama queen. And we don't want to leave the guys out. It could be the drama king also. I think the only thing uglier than a drama queen is a drama king. But anyway, he says, study to be quiet. Now, it's interesting what the definitions of these words here, study and quiet, mean. The word study is a word that is tied to what we know as ambition. You think about people that have ambition. It's good to have ambition. It's good to aspire to better yourself, maybe through education or a job promotion, or just especially as a child of God, to never get satisfied with where you are. That's the irony of the kingdom of God. In walking in the Spirit of God, there is always an unrest turning in the child of God's heart, inspiring them and encouraging them to become something even better than what they are, to scrape out the old man that's within. The thing about scraping out the old man, you have to scrape him out again and again. So we should never become complacent. We should have ambition. When it comes to the kingdom of God, we should have ambition when it comes to our lives, where we work, what we do, things like that. But he says, have the ambition to be quiet. Now, obviously, quiet is the opposite of loud. So you think about, make your ambition a drama-free life. That's a good ambition, isn't it? That should be our ambition, to have a drama-free life, because there's enough drama around us without heaping it upon ourselves. Isn't that right? To make your ambition a drama-free life. And there's obviously a great price for that. And it comes with much of what Brother Neil has shared with us this morning, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in different things. Listen, over in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, when he speaks directly to wives, and he talks about them having a meek and quiet spirit. Here he says, study to be quiet. Very connected word there. To have a meek and quiet spirit does not mean you don't ever say anything. That's not what he's saying. They need to be quiet. No, he doesn't say that. He says to have a meek and a quiet spirit. So someone that is not a merchant of drama. Listen, whenever we come into this world, you know, children, babies are just little bundles of drama, aren't they? I mean, you want to see the most, you say, well, I've struggled with drama. You've never been as dramatic as you were as when you were born. I mean, you'd pitch up. You don't remember it, and I don't either, but my mom can tell you about it. She said, I cried for 6 months. Bless her heart. We had one that cried for 6 months, And you've never been as dramatic as you were whenever people had to do everything for you. You cried when you were hungry. You cried when you were angry. You cried just to cry, because that's the only voice you had, was to cry. Well, what's wrong with this child? Listen, little children, babies coming to this world is just a bundle of drama. Now, they're precious and we love them. And think about that, though. And then as they grow older, there's a lot of drama that goes on. There's some fits that are pitched, and there's some things where they lash out and things like that. And think about the condition of our society today, where these little bundles of drama that come into the world, dramatic, and they're never taught to curb that drama. And they're never taught this either, that there's a better way than drama. See? And of course, that involves child training and parental involvement and so forth and so on. But even throughout our life, you know, you start out as a bundle of package of drama. And throughout our life, we continue to, part of our nature likes drama. You think right now, and I mentioned this, I think last week or maybe the week before, think about what you like to watch on TV. You know, think about the Andy Griffith Show and how funny and clean that show is. And then compare that to something like Modern Family, which is just a bundle of dramatic mess that proposes and preaches. Don't think for a second that Hollywood doesn't preach. And it just preaches to you, this is the Modern Family, as opposed to things you would see maybe in My Three Sons, which some of you don't even know what that is, and the Andy Griffith Show, or some of the old shows, you know, Leave It to Beaver. And I'm not saying, well, those are biblical models to follow. You know, there have been people that have based entire Bible studies off of the Andy Griffith Show. But think about the difference between a show like that back in black and white all those years ago, as opposed to something like, fill in the blank. I tell you, if some of this over here on this side is your favorite show, then you may be indulging your dramatic side. You say, well, I'm not dramatic. But if you're living through that drama, then that's part of what you enjoy within, see? And God's not just interested in what's going on the outside. The Lord looks upon the heart. Hey, listen, I know whereof I speak, because I can remember as a child seeing movies that I loved and watching shows that I really enjoyed. And then it seemed like they just got more violent and they got with more ugly language in them. And eventually you either come to a realization, hey, I've got to get control of this, or I've got to get me a ClearPlay DVD player. Or I've got to do something about this, or just put it away. See, we all have that drama within us. Proverbs 17:1 says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than an house full of sacrifices and strife. You see, there is a mindset that we can have as we have within ourselves drama, that we can affect an entire house with drama. And he says it's better to just have a little bit and be content and quiet with what you have if your ambition takes you to a place where your house is full of sacrifices and strife. There's a contemporary Christian song, I forgot the name of it, but basically the thrust of the song says that there's all these people in this house and everybody's on their phone and everybody's in their room and they never interact. They're right there together, but they just pass in the hallway. You see, that is a house full of sacrifice and strife. You say, well, they don't interact. But when they do, it's nothing but fussing and strife. Son, you need to get off that phone. Daughter, you need to get off that. Now, why? Well, number one, because it's my phone and I'm paying for it. Why do I need to do that? Well, why are you getting into my business? And everything is just boom, it blows up in just an instant. So it's like a powder keg. It's just sitting there. The drama is just right beneath the surface. And if anybody says anything you don't like or does anything you don't want them to do, all of a sudden, kaboom, that powder keg blows up. How many houses in this nation, in the world, suffer from that? See? It's better to have a dry morsel. If you desire to eat filet mignon every night, and that's your desire, and you've got to have the kind of job that will pay for that every night. But you're making sacrifices and not being with your family, and you're not seeing them and not laying eyes on them. Listen, I know whereof I speak. It's not on the filet mignon, but we can all get so busy that we don't realize how busy we've gotten. And the next thing you know, all you're looking at is a piece of paper. All you're looking, for me, all you're looking at is a courtroom scene. Or all you're doing is talking on the phone and taking appointments. And the next thing you realize, my goodness, I'm staying here too long. I'm putting too much time in here. I've got other places that I need to invest. I need to be content with my dry morsel, you see? It can happen just like that before you even realize it. Why do you think the divorce rate is so high? People start off and they're in the greatest love they've ever been in. And then all of a sudden years go by, 10, 15 years go by, and they've drifted, and they don't even realize that that love that initially started was not the same as agape love that carries you through an entire lifetime of commitment, and they've drifted away. It can happen to anybody. If it happened to a man after God's own heart, don't you think for a second it can't happen to you. Quietness here means to be tranquil, secure, successful, happy, prosperous, and to be in safety. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, "Better is an handful with quietness therewith than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit." Not only does this drama, this ambition for more, not only does it affect a house, but it affects an individual. He says it's better to just have a handful with quietness than both of the hands full with travail. I'm the world's worst at the lazy man's load. Y'all know what that is? We have 500 bags of Walmart groceries. And I'm tired when that comes about and I need to help unload. And I have literally almost knocked my shoulder out of place before getting, 15 bags in this hand and then trying to get up the steps with those 15 bags and tottering back and forth. I am the king of the lazy man's load. And the older I get, I realize I can't carry 20 bags in one hand anymore. I need to just get 3 or 4. And I might be a little unsteady going up those steps. Y'all just remember, we have so many steps in our house. If y'all don't hear from us for a few days when we get on up in our 70s, just come look for us at the bottom of some of those steps. That's where we'll be. We'll be dead. But don't cry for me. I'll be in a better place. But I get a lazy man's load. I have both of my hands full. And then you get to the top of the steps and you think, the door's locked and I'm the one with the keys in my pocket. Then somebody's got a fish in your pocket to find the key and you can't get in the door. I mean, it would be a lot better just to grab a couple bags, go up there, take my keys, open it up, go inside, put it on the thing there, put it on the counter, go back outside and get some more load. I mean, my goodness, we got a conveyor belt we've got like an assembly line in our house. Just send kids tossing them up. That's all we have to do. We've done that. It's better to have a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Isaiah 32:17, listen to this. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." Isn't that great? The effect of righteousness, the opposite of drama, the opposite of making your ambition the things of the world, the lusts of the world, and all of these different things, and just being dramatic, the opposite of that is quiet habitations. That's the effect of righteousness. You say, well, I've got drama in me. We all have it. So I got a little too much going on in my life. Well, it's probably a good idea to check the other people around you. Maybe I have surrounded myself with a lot of dramatic people, and that might be a good idea to pull away from that. You say, how do I know? Well, that's probably a whole other sermon that we could preach, and I need to move on to the next one. But you can know. You can know if you're surrounded with too much drama. Is there a lot of tattling going on? Is there a lot of backstabbing going on? Backbiting going on? Did you hear about this? Oh, let me tell you about this. I mean, things like that. You can identify if there's a lot of drama going on. And you say, well, that just doesn't go on in my life. Are you on Facebook? What is it? It's to know everything about everybody. That's what Facebook is, or Snapchat, or Instagram. I mean, look at what so-and-so's wearing. Look at what so-and-so did. Look at what so-and-so said. I mean, it is just a constant drama. Who wants to read? I mean, nobody would read my posts. I probably would have some interesting ones, but this is what I would post. I would say, I got up and put my shoes on this morning. That's real dramatic, isn't it? I got up and brushed my teeth. Who's going to read that? It's not dramatic enough. I put my suit on and went to work. That's boring, see? You say, I'm not surrounded by drama. You better be careful about that. And it will have an effect on you. And if you recognize within that you've got drama in your life, guess what the answer is? The effect of righteousness, to walk rightly, to honor God, to follow the Lord, is better than drama. It keeps you out of a lot of trouble, and it puts you in good with the Lord. See? That quietness and that non-dramatic experience, it is unbelievable how it is different than the experience of drama. How do I know? Because I've been there too. I can testify that just quietness and drama-free life is such a blessing. He says also that you may walk honestly, that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. This is the busybody. There's an old song that I thought of whenever I read this, and I'll quote this. This isn't from the Bible. This is an old Hank Williams song. If the wife and I are fussing, brother, that's our right, because me and that woman got a license to fight. Why don't you mind your own business? Because if you mind your business, then you won't be minding mine. Oh, the woman on our party lines. How many people in the congregation know what a party line is? I do. Thank you. We got to raise the hands. The woman on the party line's the nosiest thing. She picks up her receiver when she knows it's my ring. Why don't you mind your own business? If you mind your own business, then you won't be minding mine. And I like this one. Minding other people's business seems to be high-toned. I got all that I can do and just minding my own. Why don't you mind your own business? If you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine. Now, look, I get it that in the body of Christ, we bear one another's burdens. But, you know, you can cross the line. And you can become a busybody and a nosy person and somebody that is in the way, you see. But here's the way to know the difference. Establishing relationships with one another in love and just being friendly and just being communicative with one another and just understanding. I know this person. I can say to Brother Neil back there that I love him. And I said that right here when he came down. I said, Brother, I love you. Because I have a foundation with him. So that's where it comes in. It's when you have a foundation with someone and they love you and you love them and you can depend on them and they can depend on you, then rarely are you ever being nosy or busybody, you see. But if you don't know them that well and you try to insert yourself in there, you know, that's whenever you may cross the line of minding somebody else's business. And there are those that are merchants of that. That's all they want to do is mind other people's business. We don't want to be a busybody. Peter said, listen to this now, in 1 Peter 4:15, he said, don't suffer. This is kind of funny, humorous to me. He says, don't suffer as a murderer. Who wants to be a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody? He put a busybody in the same category and in the same sentence as murderer and thief and evildoer. He put busybody right in there. I like the definition in 1 Timothy 5:13, and the Apostle Paul comes down pretty heavy on some sisters in that time who were having a real struggle with this. In 1 Timothy 5, let's read in verse 11, it says, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. The definition of a busybody right there, it in one of the old dictionaries, it said a piddler about trifles. I like that. Not peddler, but to piddle about trifles. To make a big deal about everything. That kind of ties back into the drama part, doesn't it? See, now listen, it's not just women that have an issue with this. It's men, too. And like I told you, the only thing uglier than a female busybody is a male busybody. Just stirring it up. It says that a tattler in Proverbs 11:13 reveals secrets. You say, what is the answer to this? The Apostle Paul said that these women had too much time on their hands. If we, men or women or children, if we have too much time on our hands, that can be a problem. So what's the opposite of having too much time on your hands? It's work. Lamentations 3:27 speaks of this. It says, it is good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. It also says that he sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he is born that yoke. I've told you this before, but I think back on some days that we would work, especially in the summer, and I wasn't seeing my friends, and we'd work long hours and long days from the morning until sometimes, if the hay was in the field, we'd go until dark. And then some friend would call and say, hey, let's go hang out or let's go do this. I'd just be too tired to go. You know, there's an advantage to working. There's an advantage to keeping yourself busy. Because guess what? Especially if you're young, that's going to be the rest of your life. You know, sadly, we're living in a culture that all they want to do is play. They just want to figure out a way to not have to work so that they can play. God ordained work in the Garden of Eden before there was sin. Work's a good thing. It keeps you out of trouble. It keeps you from being a busybody. So what Paul is saying here, if these women would busy themselves with the things that honor God, they wouldn't have time to go around tattling and being a piddler about trifles. You see, now remember, I almost titled this, "The Preacher's Gone to Meddling." You remember? So remember, this is the Apostle Paul talking. We're just talking about what Paul says here on how to increase and abound more and more in love. We can't do that with drama. And we can't do that by being a busybody. And we certainly can't do it by being a loafer. He says, back in our text, he says, "Study to be quiet and don't be a drama queen or king. Do your own business. Don't be a busybody. And work with your own hands as we commanded you." The person who doesn't work is referred to in the scripture as what I call a loafer or a sluggard or a slothful person. This is a person with no ambition. You see, they don't have any ambition. They just like to rest. Let me give you several verses in the book of Proverbs that speaks directly to this particular sin. And also remember this, the alternative to loafing is obviously working. And it's a better thing. It may make you tired. It may wear you out sometimes. But it's a better thing than loafing. That's what the Lord says. Proverbs 19 and verse 15, he says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." The slothful, the loafer, likes to sleep a lot. There's nothing wrong with a good night's rest. I remember when I was in my 20s, I could sometimes stay up all night studying. And I did that a few times. And man, if I tried to do that today, y'all find me at the bottom of the steps at home. I just can't do that anymore. But late, I'm not talking about staying up and studying when you got a test and things like that. This is a lazy person, a loafer, that just they just don't do anything. It casts into a deep sleep. Look at verse 24 of the same chapter. "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." Yeah, this is probably way out of the context of that scripture. But when I read that, this is what I thought of. I thought of a bunch of guys or girls sitting in front of a big video screen with their hands in their bosoms, with a little controller going, gaming. I just thought about that. And they can't even stop to get the popcorn. You know, they won't even bring their hand to their mouth because they're too busy. Yeah, am I crazy? I saw a documentary. No, it wasn't a documentary. I saw a program on TV several years ago, 10 or 15 years ago. And it was about these three or four guys. I remember Brother Chris and I used to play video games when we were growing up. And I think it is something that probably affects the guys a little more than it does the girls, but it can affect the girls too. But I saw this thing on TV where these three or four normal looking, nice looking young men in their late 20s and early 30s, every weekend they had rented an apartment and they had these huge screens over here, this gigantic screen and this screen here and in another room, and it was a gaming apartment. And that's what they did on the weekends. And I remember at some point in the show it said something about, "Well, you know, do y'all have girlfriends?" They were like, "No." Well, no wonder. They're too busy gaming. They're too lazy to reach over and phone and say, "Hey, would you like to go out with me?" They're too busy. Their hands in their bosom. See? I'm probably stretching that verse a little bit, but maybe not. Brother Luke said I'm not. If Brother Luke said I'm not, then I'm not. Okay. I feel better about it. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse 25. "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." He wants to have it all so bad, but he doesn't put the time in or the effort in to get it. Now, very quickly, Proverbs 26, and I love this one in verse 16. Proverbs 26 and 16, he says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Seven wise men could come along and say to the sluggard, "You need to go plant that garden now." A neighbor says, "Hey, the moon's just right, the time's right, the forecast is good, go plant it." And the sluggard said, "No, I got something better to do." And six other men, seven men, could come along and tell that person why they need to plant that garden. And I know we don't plant as much as we used to, but carry that over into whatever you're dealing with in your life. If you get seven godly, good people that say, "Well, you need to go ahead and plant that garden," you need to get to planting. But the sluggard says, in his own conceit, he says, Nah, I got it all figured out. Don't need any help. You know, that's our nature. That little bundle of drama that comes into this world is when we're babies, that is something that's ingrained in our genetics because of the fall of Adam. Listen, what is our ambition? I hope our ambition is not to be the drama queen or king of the church. There's no title for that. The only title for that is good grief. I mean, nobody wants to be around that person. A church peace and love and tranquility cannot be maintained by being fueled by drama. Let me tell you this too. A house cannot be maintained. A godly Christian home cannot be maintained. It will fall in some form or another if it's based on drama. And is our ambition to be a busybody in other men's matters? Or is our ambition to lead a quiet and peaceable life and do our own business and be there to bear burdens and be there to help when we're needed and called upon, but not to be meddling in someone else's business? And lastly, he says, to work with our own hands. I hope our ambition is not to be a loafer, a lazy person. He says that you may walk honestly towards them that are without. You see, that's a key right there. There's people out there in the community that see you go about and do the things that you do from day to day. Oh, may God bless us not to be seen in drama or as a busybody or as a loafer. But may we be seen as one who is studying to be quiet. One who is doing our own business. One who is working with our own hands. And that we are furthering the kingdom of God just by gaining those characteristics. That you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you have lack of nothing. These are ways in which you can continue to scrape out that old man within you and bear what God has written and taught you on your heart. May God bless us to do that. One of the ways that you can demonstrate that is by becoming a part of the church. By confessing that I have this old man within me, but God has placed a new man within me by His sovereign work and by touching me in my heart through the mercy and the sovereignty of God. Who gets the credit for that? The Lord does. And if that's your desire this morning, we give you that opportunity as you come forth. You have a song, Brother Jim.